We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Ryan Horvath, thanks for, you know, let me in here and, you know, letting us chat it up a little bit here on the day before Thanksgiving.
No, thanks for hanging out with me. Like, I like to run point and I like to just be by myself and just talk to myself for 6 hours. But sometimes it gets a little lonely in here. Just me, Sam, and then me and Evan Heffelfinger, our other producer. Sometimes we get lonely looking at each other. So it's nice to have some new blood in here. And as much as I love Chuck and Bart, you know, every once in a while, it's like having like a substitute teacher or, you know, it's sometimes you need a little break.
Right. So, you know,
from each other.
It is still, and I say this every time, it is still one of the best jobs ever because it's like the substitute teacher, which is when you showed up to class and you saw a different person sitting in that chair and then you saw some random stuff on the board and you knew you were going to have a different kind of fun that day. It's like, all right. But it's, you know, it's a temporary thing. It's a 1 or 2 day thing. And then your regular teacher gets back in the building. So in the meantime, Horvy, we still have a lot. That's the good thing is it's not a substitute kind of content day. There's a lot going on,
right,
including a Packers team that now has to pick itself up off the mat after that loss to San Francisco. They're 8-3. They're still in that elite group, that group that's probably going to make the playoffs. I mean, I can't imagine this being a collapse on the part of the Packers, right?
It would be a bigger collapse than the Bucs losing 4 straight in the Eastern Conference Finals if the Packers found a way to not get into the postseason this year. When you have the Redskins and the Giants and the Bears on your schedule with 3 brutal quarterbacks, I shouldn't say 3 brutal quarterbacks, with 1 brutal quarterback and 2 young quarterbacks, these are winnable games, right? I mean, these are very winnable games. Even Minnesota Week 16. I was half joking, like, not really, though. I wanted to beat the 49ers so damn bad that I said I would sacrifice a loss to the Giants or a loss to the Redskins. Because what I wanted to see from the Packers this last Sunday night was them compete with a team that is a championship-caliber team, with a playoff-caliber team. And then if you get caught sleeping against a crappy Giants or Redskins team, like, I'll get over it. I'll be upset for about 24 to 48 hours, but I'll get over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, what, 4 or 5 days or whatever it's been? I'm losing my mind a little bit, and it just continues to linger. Like, I'm in a good mood. I'm fine with it. I'm like, hey, it's one game. You're 8-3. You got the Giants up next. And then I get home, and I'm like, where the hell is D. Lowry?
There's the question you want to ask at the end of November.
Jimmy Graham, we sacrificed Jordy Nelson for this? And then you're watching Randall Cobb just explode for the Dallas Cowboys. And I am so sick of having to defend like my wide receiver takes. I get right now that the Packers cannot protect Aaron Rodgers, and maybe you need some help on that offensive line. I get that you need help at inside linebacker. I also don't want to see Blake Martinez covering a running back ever again or a tight end. But unfortunately, you don't have a better option because Oren Burks can't find the field. Ty Summers is undersized, and he's more of a special teams player. But like, it drives me nuts when people continue to say that this team was set at wide receiver, because they're not. They really are not. Davante Adams is a great route runner, a top 5 receiver, but you need to complement him with another player. Geronimo isn't it. MVS, I continue to say it, runs one route. I was so high on MVS. I picked him in fantasy football leagues. He worked out with Randy Moss in the offseason. I was so high on him. He's the same player that he was last year to me, and I can't trust him. Jake Kumerow tries hard. He's a try-hard guy. And when he's made some plays, right? Jake Kumerow has. He's looked all right at times.
Yeah.
Alan Lazard, the same thing. Undrafted guy. Liked him at Iowa State. You know, big, tall receiver. But, like, none of these guys are A.J. Green. None of these guys are... insert name, Emmanuel Sanders. Not that you even had to go out and get one of those guys, but the only dude that you do bring in hasn't even seen the field, Ryan Grant.
He's basically a safety valve, right? He's a backup option.
It's like a plane crashes or something.
Right.
All the other receivers are on it.
And it is a little bit concerning because if they get, it's not going to be an issue, I don't think, this week or next week or maybe even the week after, but there's about to come a point where you are going to start either facing big opponents or big games back to back to back, right? There's going to come a point where you're at Minnesota in week 16 and then at Detroit in week 17. And you may, yes, I get where Detroit is in the standings in the NFC North, but that game is meaningful. The Lions are playing their playoff game that day.
Right.
The Bears are playing their playoff game December 15th at Lambeau Field.
That's what I said. That's a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, so they're gonna try to win that game.
Everything they've got goes into winning that game because they know they're not going to play in January. So even though you may not have opponents that are in that upper echelon in the NFC, your season ends with a Bears team that is giving you 10,000%, then the Vikings, then a Lions team that's giving you 10,000%, and then the playoffs. That combination means you have to have weapons ready. It means these next couple of weeks against the Giants and against the Redskins at Lambeau Field are crucial weeks, because whatever funk it is that's going with these two losses in California has got to fix itself.
Absolutely.
Or you could have one of these clunkers at home.
So the team continues to struggle defensively against the pass now, against the run, against covering tight ends and crossing routes of just killing the Packers right now. Special teams, you're the worst in the league. Now all of a sudden the offense is taking a step back. Those three areas, what concerns you the most? What's the easiest to fix? 414-799-1250. You could also tweet at us throughout the day at 105.7 FM. The Fan, as Ben did this morning. He wanted to let us know what he's thankful for. He said he's thankful that he's never lost to Stephen F. Austin like Duke did last night. They had their 150-game home non-conference winning streak snapped. He said he is thankful that he doesn't have to block the Bosa brothers. I am as well.
Yes.
White Castle cheeseburger sliders have been legalized in all 50 states. I'm a big White Castle guy. I have to drive 45 minutes to get it.
And that's a funny term, though. Legalized?
Yeah.
Was it? Were they not?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that I love White Castle, but you don't feel right for about 4 months after eating it. I don't have to look for Devontae Adams before completing any tasks at work, and yes, I'm still an NBA free agent. Justin tweets in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. He quotes me and says the Badgers are awful. Funny, sad, but absolutely true. Absolutely true. Not sure what the issue is. I'm not at the fire guard point. Completely agreed. Don't need anybody fired yet, especially during the holiday season. And then Cheryl tweets in at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and says, my two favorites.
Hey!
Kevin Holden and Ryan Horvath on The Morning Show. Great way to start pre-Thanksgiving day and happy weekend. Enjoy the holiday, boys. Thank you, Cheryl. You as well. Stay safe. Enjoy the time with family and friends. What area scares you the most, the offense, the defense, or the special teams?
For me?
Yeah, for you.
It's still not the defense, and I know that defense has been in this downward slide for several weeks, but you have some things on the defense that you haven't had. You've got the Smiths with that high total of sacks on both ends.
Love those guys.
Right? And they're great. They're great for the chemistry, I think. The fact that they do all those post-game interviews together is a ton of fun. You've got depth in the secondary for the first time in a long, long time. That's the thing that unraveled this Packers team years ago. That was the beginning of it. So the defense is not the thing that really concerns me. It's the offense. It's the fact that I have a head coach that's telling me 12 weeks into the season, we should involve our running back more.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I know.
Wait, don't tell me that. Go do it. Go to New York and feed Aaron Jones, man.
I love Matt LaFleur, and I loved him to start the year because I just thought that his game plan, you could tell he's well-prepared, you could tell he's well-organized, and he's changed the culture completely in a few short months in Green Bay. The guys really respect him, and sometimes like that's what you worry about with a younger head coach. Really, with any new first-year head coach, even a guy like Vic Fangio, who's old and he's been around the league, I feel like he's lost that team a little bit. Hell, he lost his quarterback, Joe Flacco, who said, why are we punting the ball on fourth down? We're a brutal team. Let's go for it every time. Joe Flacco now has a mysterious injury. He's done for the year. So, like, it's hard to earn the respect of your players, these millionaires, these guys that are making millions. And Matt LaFleur has done that. He's changed the culture. He comes out, his game plan is always crisp up until, I'd say, the Chargers game. And then against San Francisco, we don't really know what that game plan even looked like because Aaron Rodgers fumbled immediately to start that game. But I like the game plan. It's just the in-game management is where he struggled. It's where he struggled. He impressed me against Kansas City because I thought that he outcoached Andy Reid, who's one of the best coaches in the entire NFL. But once again, like the in-game management at halftime, nothing, no adjustments really outside of halftime against the San Francisco 49ers. It scares me. But for me, man, I got to be quite honest. It is the defense that does scare me because you rank 28th in yards allowed. You're 26th against the run. And now you're 23rd against the pass. You're 32nd in opponents' average gain on first down. And that's the number that I don't think we're keying in on. On first down, opponents are averaging 6 to 7 yards against you. You have to limit that. And you have to stop giving up these big gains to the running backs and the tight end. Mm. And I like Tremont Williams. I think he's a great locker room leader. I just don't want to see him on the field a whole lot. Darnell Savage, since he's came back from the injury, has been bad. The missed tackles, he had a rough night. Kevin King had a really rough night. And I'm still pretty high on Kevin King. Like, I like him, but he's hit or miss. He shows up, then he doesn't show up. I love Jair Alexander. He does a lot of talking. Can't really catch the football, which has become an issue. 4 picks that he's dropped this year. But he does take away half of the field. It's just, you know, these guys talk a lot. A couple weeks back, they were calling themselves the best defense in the NFL. You're not. You're in the bottom half of the league. That's my problem. So next time you pick off a pass or you get a turnover, don't run to the opposite side of the end zone until you hold the team under, I don't know, let's say 14 points. I'm half kidding. Like, I like the celebrations. I like the Smith brothers doing their interviews together. I'm just upset, man. You drop 2 of 3. And if you lose 2 of 3 to the Chargers and the 49ers, I should be fine with that. It's the way that you played. It's like you didn't even show up. That team looked scared on Sunday night. The 49ers were so damn physical. They were sticking. They were hitting. They were energized on that field. Then you look over at the Packers sideline. I love Aaron Rodgers, but, like, fire your guys up. Go and talk to somebody. Go talk to your offensive lineman. Talk to these young receivers. The defensive side of the ball, nobody's communicating. That's the problem I have on crossing routes. Somebody yells something out. There's no communication with this defense. And I have to look at Blake Martinez. I have to look at some of these guys and say, where's the leadership?
Yeah, and Blake is a really good example of how do you assess the defense. Because you could make the case for the Packers defense being both bad or good based around Blake Martinez, right? I mean, You could go in either direction with that. You could say, you know, you're looking at the tackle totals and you're looking at the, you know, the stability in the middle and that sort of thing. And then you watch George Kittle destroy this defense along with any other tight end.
And can barely walk.
Yeah, and that's bad.
I mean, granted, you know, they probably shot him up with some really nice stuff before that game to get him out on the field.
No, that would not happen
league. You're right. It doesn't happen.
Horvy.
414-799-1250. Packers, 2 of the last 3 weeks, well, 2 of the last 4 weeks when you consider the bye week, but 2 of the last 3 games, they put up a stinker. What's the problem right now with this team? Offense, defense, special teams. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 414-799-1250. We'll go to Waukesha. We'll talk with Mike. Mike, happy Thanksgiving, bud.
Same to you guys. Hey, you know, I thought it was me for a while, just me, so I never called in and made any comments about this, but I keep hearing about the challenge of the Packers' offense. Well, they're still getting the offense on. You know, and I'm looking at the offense, and I see nothing different than when McCarthy was there.
Yeah.
We're reluctant to run the ball. We don't want to do that. Aaron's still sitting back in the pocket, taking forever to get rid of the ball. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that really got me was in the beginning of the season, you go back to all the way back to the Bear game, they would do just like LaFleur said they were going to do, get out of the huddle quickly, get up to the line of scrimmage. They were going to be ready to play. You know, it's always been with McCarthy, let's get as many offensive plays off as we can, yet we still run the clock down, the play clock down, to 1 or 2 before we snap the ball.
Yeah.
So yesterday I'm tuned into the afternoon show, and I finally found somebody that maybe I'm not that far off the base when Gary said that it's almost like as soon as Devontae came back, we go back to the Mike McCarthy offense.
Yeah.
And Aaron, when you talk to Aaron, it's like, well, we got to get him his targets. We got to get him the ball. No, we don't. I mean, the defense, you're not going. What I would do with the defense is these guys would play man-to-man because they're incapable of playing zone defense. There's so many blown coverages. It's ridiculous. That's why, like you guys say, the crossing patterns. Absolutely. They can't play a zone defense. So you got these young speed burners. Let them play man-to-man. If you're going to get burned that way. But don't do it where you're leaving a tight end plot down the middle of the field with a bad ankle and nobody's within 20 yards. And the defense is what it is, and hopefully it'll get a little better. But the offense, something's got to happen there. They cannot continue to try to force this ball to this wide receiver. I can't believe Aaron Jones gets one target last week. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Enjoy your holiday, buddy. 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. A lot we could unpack there. We do got to get to a break. I want to hit on this Davante Adams since he's came back, because they were 4-0 without Davante Adams, and the offense was playing their best football of the season. And I do agree with Mike. They're forcing it to him. I also agree with, like, I saw this in the New England game. Everybody is getting deep into the analytics in the NFL. We saw this story on Monday Night Football with Lamar Jackson and kind of how they built their whole offense around him, and they have all these analytic guys that are just kind of like calculating all these numbers and the ways to get the plays in and this and that, you know, and working on his strengths. And we saw it with Tom Brady in the last New England game. He was like, they showed him on the sidelines, and you could see his, like, he was mouthing it out. And he said, "What the hell is up with our clock guy to get today?"
Right.
But there's like guys that are like focused on getting these plays in, and the Packers. Mike was being generous by saying they snapped the ball with 2 or 1 second left on the play clock. They're getting away with snapping the ball with no time on the
right.
clock.
You see,
like,
zeros.
I noticed that against the Bears game, even week one.
Yeah.
And then it improved against the Vikings. It looked really good against Denver. They were getting the plays in quickly. And I agree, the offense, it's Mike McCarthy's offense again. Aaron Rodgers should not be getting sacked 5 times. That's why I was so high on Matt LaFleur and bringing in a younger mind as a head coach, because I wanted to see the Packers do what the Saints have done with Drew Brees the last couple of years. You realize he's older, so you surround him with weapons. Multiple backs, multiple tight ends, skill position players. I mean, arguably they have the best in Michael Thomas. He had 10 catches the other day. But what they do is you only drop back with Drew Brees 22 to 25 times a game, and it's a 3-step drop. Get rid of the ball. We're going back to Aaron dropping back 5-step drop, 7-step drop, sitting back there. Nobody's open. And it's not all on him. He has no time. And wide receivers aren't creating any space. They're not getting open.
That sounds like a McCarthy-era thing. You know, the other thing that sounds like a McCarthy-era thing is that the tight ends just destroying your defense. You remember Carolina in 2017? Rodgers came back and played the one game from injury. And anyway, there was a touchdown pass to Greg Olsen. And I can remember Olsen just sprinting there without anybody near him into the end zone, and two defensive backs sort of looking at each other with their arms out.
What the hell, yeah.
That was you. No, that was you. That is very similar to what we've seen. That's interesting, right? New head coach, but that's still playing the same way. We're talking more Green Bay Packers next. This is Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Seven FM, The Fan. We've been talking Packers, Bucks, and a lot more. Thanks for joining us this morning. KJ joins us most mornings, including this one. KJ, aloha.
Aloha, my brothers. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you and everybody out there in Wisconsin and all over the world right now.
You too, my man.
Hey, great to hear two platinum voices this morning with you two.
Thank you, KJ.
Enjoying the show immensely.
Appreciate it.
Listen, with the Packers, there's a couple of things that I've noticed. There seems to be, it feels like to me, a difference between what the offense was when Davante Adams was out and what it is now. They have gone away, as we can all tell, from Aaron Jones, him getting the ball out of the backfield, him getting more touches, you know, in the backfield as well. I mean, the guy has the capability of being an Alvin Kamara type back, and they're just not utilizing that at this point right now. The other thing is, I really thought that they should have gone out to get a second receiver to go with Adams to kind of offset, you know, some of those, because they don't respect any of the other receivers that the Packers have other than him. So the defenses are shifting their defense and kind of, so to speak, wedging the defense towards him on the field, Adams. And, you know, so they're cutting out the field. They don't have a slot receiver because Cobb is no longer there. So they don't respect anything that the Packers are going to do over the middle, because they don't do anything over the middle.
Never.
They don't have a tight end that can catch the ball over the middle. And they don't have a guy that can, you know, go downfield and be a speed burner that can actually catch the ball. So, you know, so the defenses, the secondaries, are just basically defending the sidelines against Adams. And, you know, and they're pushing him towards the out-of-bounds, you know, places on the field. So, I mean, you know, you're limited. They're not having to defend the middle of the field, is what I'm trying to say. So you know, it makes it very difficult, especially when you're not running the ball as well and you're holding on the ball like Rodgers is doing, you know, in the offense like he was doing in prior years. So, man, I don't know. That's got to be changed. That's got to go back to what they were doing before Devontae went out, and that's the only way they're going to get back on track, I think. The defense is what it is. Smiths are, you know, they're awesome. But, you know, they need help. You know, the secondary can only defend so long. So, I mean, they're going to have to get in there and really, you know, get to the quarterbacks in these next couple of games. And I think they can win, you know, most of the games they have. The Vikings game, obviously, is the biggest game of the year for them. If they win that, then they got a good shot of getting some home field, guys. Have a great day, man. Enjoy the show again. Aloha.
Thanks, man. Have a good Thanksgiving, KJ.
KJ.
414-799-1250. Let's stick with the phone calls here before we hit a break. Let's go to Florida. I need to be warm. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, what's up, buddy? You're in Florida?
Yeah. What's going on, guys?
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. So the last two callers were spot on, everything they said. I think the biggest problems on this team are offense, and then special teams has been horrendous this year. And,
yeah,
you know, defensively, yeah, I mean, you know, defensively we're making plays. It's just the short, the continued short fields, the bad punting, the fact that our punt returner can't get any yards after the catch is a big problem on this team. And I just think that, you know, Coach LaFleur, we don't have the weapons offensively at tight end or wide receiver to be a passing team. Mm-hmm. But we do have two good running backs. So I think that, you know, they should be like 60-40 in terms of running versus passing. I think that would alleviate a lot of the problems. And then I would put Devontae Adams in the slot.
Right, man. Thank you for saying. I've been saying this now for 2 weeks. Why don't they move him around, especially if you have Richard Sherman out on an island? Move him out of the slot. Try to get him open.
I don't know, man, because if you put Devontae Adams in the slot, I think that would open things up to the middle of the field because you utilize Devontae
right in
the middle of the field. And then I don't want to see Allison play another snap the rest of the season. He's terrible. So what I would do, put Adams in the slot, put Lazard out, and throw some 50-50 balls to Lazard. He's proven that he can catch those type of balls. I mean,
he's 6'5".
Yeah, right. And he's got, you know, he's got like a 38-inch vertical. I mean, if you look, his numbers combine-wise are pretty similar to Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton's a pretty good player. Yeah. So,
no doubt, man.
Yeah, so you have to utilize the guys that you have. And, you know, we say that we've been seeing this for a while with guys, you know, Mike McCarthy offense. It's the players. I mean, if you look at the last 3 years, we could say this the last 3 years that guys aren't getting open, and it's because that the guys aren't very good. You had a past your prime Jordy Nelson. You had a past your prime off-injured, ineffective Randall Cobb. Yeah, I know he's having, you know, a bit of a resurgence this year with the Cowboys, but he wasn't doing that the last couple of years with the Packers.
It helps that he's playing with Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott and even 90-year-old Jason Witten are freeing him up a little bit, so that's a good point right there.
Right. So it's really the personnel on the field. There's only so much you can do if you can't beat your man. But the things that I suggested, if you did those, I think that would really help a lot.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, all right?
You too.
Thanks, Mike. Enjoy Florida. Enjoy the warm weather.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the first thought I had was probably 85 degrees where that dude is right now in Florida. But appreciate listening all throughout the country. That tells you the reach.
That's why I love the radio.com app. And the best part about it, Kev, I don't know if you know this because you haven't been in here in a couple weeks. You could pause, you could rewind, you could fast forward. So let's say you tune in at 6:18. You could go all the way back to 6 a.m. and hear the opening rant that I had from a couple mornings ago.
Seriously?
On the Packers, on the tight ends. Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you, that's a valuable thing. That's like your DVR and your TV where you can move back and forth and, you know, replay. Did he really say that? Yeah, let's go back and Make sure he said it.
It's honestly, I wish that it was around when I was growing up and there was no such thing as podcasts and everything was appointment listening.
Right.
You remember like when I was listening to Stern growing up, if
sure.
I could pause it and then go back to like listen to the interviews.
Could you imagine?
It would be tremendous, man.
Yeah, that is a great advantage. So thanks for everybody listening there on the radio.com app. Thanks for everybody listening by any means necessary. There is a rumor that Scott Grodzki of CBS 58 might join the show here. In a little while.
Good.
That's what I hear.
What's he up to today? Find out next.
Yes, yeah, there you go. Oh, you set me up and I didn't even go for it. Yes, find out next. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Ryan Horvath, day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, sorry.
I love that you know this stuff.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Now, this makes me want to get up and get going on the day.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
Hello.
Stairway to Heaven, yeah. A little fun with music on the day before Thanksgiving, a little fun with sports as well. We've been talking Green Bay Packers as they get ready to face the Giants. This weekend, and there's a little trepidation, right? You should think the Giants would be a blowout win, but
you would hope. But I keep having nightmares of Josh Rosen and the Arizona Cardinals.
That would be exactly a year ago, by the way.
Ending the tenure of Mike McCarthy. Yeah, exactly a year ago about this time. And that was the end of that era. This is a new era, and I think that the Packers hopefully turn things around. 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7FM, The Fan. Rick Davey tweets in, and he calls me out. I made one of my first mistakes ever in my life. You could ask my wife. I've never made one. Yeah, the Badgers are actually 4-3. I said 4-2 in my last update, so I'd like to apologize for that. They're 4-3 after a 58-50 loss. They're awful. I mean, they're bad.
They haven't won outside of the Kohl Center.
I got myself in a little bit of trouble with the Badgers, Kev. I like to watch good college hoops. I love college hoops. I'm watching Duke. I'm watching North Carolina. I like the Badgers, but I don't like to be depressed. So I made a comment a couple days back, and I said I would rather punch myself in the face repeatedly than ever watch Badgers basketball ever again. So on Monday night, now my kid is off of school for Thanksgiving break. So he's back in Illinois with my parents. I got to go scoop him up today. And so I had a parent-teacher conference, and I asked my wife. I said, I'm really tired. It's a busy week. Any chance you could just knock this one out of the park and I'll go to the next one? And she said, no, you got to come with me. And I said, well, I got work to do. The Badgers are on. And she said, well, at 8:30 a.m. on Friday morning, you said you would rather punch yourself in the face than watch the Badgers ever play basketball again. So next thing you know, I'm at this parent-teacher conference not watching the Badgers. So I got myself in trouble, so I should just pretend that I want to watch crappy basketball.
Although, I think after seeing what happened against New Mexico, your original point still stands.
New Mexico they lost to? They lost to Mitch Richmond. That's what I call them. They lost to Richmond, who I didn't even know had a basketball team. It's been bad. And even Duke loses a non-conference game last night, but Stephen F. Austin, man, they're no joke. And
that's right.
That's what you see in college hoops, though, because these mid-major teams have good coaching, and they have guys that buy into a system because they're four-year players. Whereas at Duke, you get all these kids that are one-and-dones now. At Kentucky, you get one-and-dones. That's why you're seeing these teams like the Wichita States, going back to the day, you go to like the VCU squads and the Shaka Smart squads that are upsetting these big-name teams because they're one-and-done. Like these kids, I did an interview with John Calipari a couple years ago, and he told me he doesn't even put his defense in until the first month of the season, after the first month of the season, because it's all new freshmen every year.
Right.
He's just trying to get them to play together. He doesn't even put any offensive sets or his defense. So it's like you're going to see that more and more.
So if you're talking about what this Badgers team is capable of a month into the season, and you're playing New Mexico and Brad Davison is 0-9 from the floor and 0-6 from three, and the Badgers hit 2 3-pointers, the entire game against New Mexico, like that's something needs to go in a month into the season. It wouldn't be defense, but it's got to be something. And I think my concern is that you don't have somebody stepping up.
Right.
Right. Nate Reavers has taken a step forward.
Yeah.
Who else on this team has taken a step forward?
Who else could you name on this team? No, I'm just kidding. But and then that's the thing with the Badgers is like Marquette's not going to be very good, and Steve Wojciechowski can't keep his own players with guys transferring out. So like when the Hauser brothers left, I was like, I'm done with this team too, because this is a team I thought maybe would have the potential to at least win an NCAA tournament game, at least make the NCAA tournament this year. Mm-hmm. Now, like I like watching, but I still like enjoy watching Marquette basketball way better than Wisconsin basketball. I'd rather watch Marcus Howard chuck up 46 shots and hit 13 of them, because at least it's exciting, I guess. Go back out to the phone lines, 414-799-1250. Go out to Cudahy, talk with Roger. Roger, happy Thanksgiving, bud. How you doing today?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Couple things. First off, the thing about Aaron Jones, I think we're looking at it too much in terms of getting the ball to Aaron versus Devontae. I mean, clearly there's a lot of other coaches and offenses that can utilize both talents like that, whether you look at New Orleans or whatever. And the thing, I think, with Aaron, what you're killing two birds with one stone in that, I think it is critical for Aaron to get the ball and for this offense to get the ball out of Aaron's hands quickly. And I think with getting it to Aaron, it kills, it accomplishes those two things, plus the potential after the catch is so much greater with him than anyone else. So I think it's more a question. It's not just – it's making this offense into a formidable one, and I just don't see it as a Devontae versus Aaron thing, because certainly we should be able to utilize both. Having said that, with the loss to San Francisco, I'd be curious what you guys think. I think with the loss to San Francisco, this game – with New York becomes bigger than that one was.
I think it's a must-win. I think against Washington and I think against the Bears, those three are definitely must-win games, because Week 16 is going to be tough just because historically you don't really play well in Minnesota, and the Vikings look like they're the real deal. And if you win, I mean, if you finish with identical records, you're going to get the tiebreaker, I believe, over Minnesota because of the tiebreaker that you had Week 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to take care of business. Like, we have to take care of business. Not we. I mean, I don't play for the team. They need to take care of business against the Giants, the Redskins, and the Lions, because you're facing second- or third-tier quarterbacks in those games. And that, if the defense is giving up 300 or 400 yards to Mitch Trubisky, to whoever the hell Matthew Stafford's backup is, and to, you know, the kid out of Washington, Haskins, the rookie quarterback out of Ohio State, then there's bigger issues. Then there's no shot you're beating San Francisco or Seattle in the playoffs if you can't stop those guys, Raj.
Yeah, I think absolutely that this game is can you imagine the chatter and the radio fodder if they go in New York and don't win?
I'm taking that week off.
It just forebodes terrible things for where this team is at, and even in terms of where it can be next year.
Thanks for the call. And yeah, I mean, the thing that you don't want is the thought of the word collapse, right? That's the thing that you have to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
The word collapse. You don't want a part of that. You know what I mean? That's the thing that you don't, the place you don't want to go. And right now they're not there. If you beat the teams you're supposed to beat, if they beat the Giants and Washington and Chicago, then you're not going to think in terms of collapse.
Yeah.
But if you lose at New York,
oh, man,
then it starts creeping in. And then all December here is going to be collapse, 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 whether
yeah.
it's true or not.
And Saquon is banged up. I mean, he hasn't really been himself in the last couple weeks since he's really returned from the injury. So if he gashes you for 200-plus, then you're in some trouble. Go back out to the phone lines. Go to Racine. Talk with Sean. Sean, happy Thanksgiving, bud. How you doing today?
Happy Thanksgiving. Good. How about you guys?
Pretty good, my brother. What's up, man? We're concerned about this Packers defense, offense, special teams. What concerns you the most?
It's got to be the offense. The defense held pretty much the entire first half of that San Francisco game. The problem became they're not getting the ball to Jones. Everyone keeps saying that Rodgers is holding on to the ball too much. 3, 4, 5 stop, step dropbacks. I saw a stat from Sunday. Rodgers only held on to the ball an average of 2.5 seconds. That was the quickest of any quarterback in the league on Sunday.
Right,
they
weren't even blitzing.
It didn't seem like it, but that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
When they sit there and try to get these quick outs, he's throwing them behind the line of scrimmage because he's running for his life, and they did that without D-Ford.
Yeah.
Why does Jones only have one target? That makes absolutely no sense. A caller said earlier about putting Adams in the slot. I totally agree with that because they say MVS is good at one thing.
Yeah.
Running a deep post.
Running a 4-2 down the field, right.
Lazard, have him on the other side ready for a 50-50 jump ball. But then if that opens up the middle of the field, or, hey, maybe that's not there, Adams is going to draw 2-3 defenders. There's Aaron Jones just sitting waiting for the ball. Why Jamal Williams, and no knock against him, had more targets and receptions than Jones in that game, and actually I believe more than Jones in the last 3-plus games, is beyond me, because he is probably your most dynamic playmaker currently. He hasn't been known for his pass-catching skills, but he stepped it up, and when he gets the ball in his hand, barely anybody can stop him one-on-one. Usually it takes 2, 3, 4 missed tackles when it's playing good before they finally bring him down. So utilize him. Sure, there's growing pains with a first-time head coach, and he admitted after the last game they need to find a way to get Jones the ball. But why did it take you the last 3 games straight of 33 pass attempts to Adams and almost none to Jones to realize that?
Right.
You got to wake up before, like Kevin just said, you don't want this to be a collapse.
No, yeah. Oh, sorry, Kevin.
No, yeah, thanks for the call, Sean. Yeah.
I agree with what he's saying, too. I mean, teams have caught on a little bit. I mean, like, they're not going to allow Aaron Jones to catch 7 balls for 100 yards and continue to kill teams, but I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know what happened. And I go back to the Chargers game. I didn't like the play calling. And I get – so you got down in that game, but you were just exchanging field goals. Like, it was 3-0, 6-0, 9-0. You completely abandoned the run. Jamal Williams in that game had 2 carries for 10 yards. That means in 2 carries, he was giving you 5 yards per pop, and you just completely went away from Jamal, and it was just the focus was Aaron Jones. I agree with the caller that said you got to go 60-40, run to pass, but use both backs. Use their strengths. Use Aaron Jones to catch passes out of the backfield. Run to the outside with him on those zone runs. And then when it's 4th-and-1, and you're without your best run-blocking tackle, use your power back in Jamal Williams.
Oh,
the personnel is all over the place.
So
I don't got to get to a break.
In that one, they were in shotgun. They called a timeout, and they came back in shotgun.
You don't always have to run the ball out of shotgun.
If you're going to do it, let's have some fun. Throw Danny Vitale out there in a situation like that.
Oh, my God, I'm glad you brought that up. Because where's I formation? Danny Vitale, the snap count last game, 9 snaps against the 49ers. He played 9 snaps.
And you're going to go finesse up there against that power on 4th-and-1 out of shotgun. Yeah, I admittedly sort of popped a lid when that happened.
Right.
We're going to come back and talk to Scott Grotzky next. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We've been talking Green Bay Packers, so why don't we chat with someone who was in San Francisco and saw maybe the roughest game of the 2019 season in person. That, of course, would be Scott Grotzky, co-worker at my day job, CBS 58. Scott, welcome.
Hey, I was in L.A., too, if that counts. That's 2 good ones.
L.A., which
the fields were both of them.
L.A., which we called the Fire Festival of NFL stadiums. It was a soccer stadium that held like 12 people.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. It was we were on a tennis court for the media room.
Truth.
I don't know why there was a tennis court there.
Did you play at all?
What can you do? No, we were on the tennis court in the little like makeshift tent. What can you do?
It was so weird. It was so bizarre, man. But this was – L.A. was bizarre. San Francisco, to me, was just plain disappointing because there was –
San Francisco was bad.
Right? There's no part of that went well for them, right?
No, that was right from the beginning, right from the fumble to the 2-yard line with Tevin Coleman. The game felt like it was over. Really, the only good thing that happened was really loved the play call on a shotgun on 4th-and-1. That was good.
Woo!
That was good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was just robbed of watching Packers football in both the game against the Chargers and the Niners because, I mean, I was just like, I never give up on the team, but at halftime of both games, I was like, this is over. Like, this team is not coming back.
Yeah.
They just don't look like they want to be there. What concerns you most right now, Scott? The offense, the defense, or the special teams, or all of the above? D.
I guess I would go with A and B. Special teams doesn't concern me too much just because I think I feel like special teams is a dessert. You can be concerned about it once everything else is going well.
Right.
But it's just right now, I mean, they have some major issues. And you know what? They have 2 weeks ahead where both
offense and defense should get healthy. You're not going to get many better matchups than what they have the next few weeks for the defense. It's 3 weeks because then they have Trubisky. It's really rough on both right now. And just on the field, everyone was so dejected from pretty much the start of that game. And after hearing them talk over and over again after the Chargers loss about how they're going to have juice and they need to be all amped up for the game, then they come out and do basically the same thing against San Francisco. And right. It was very disheartening to watch just for a team that now you got to think they're going on the road in the playoffs, whether it's in San Francisco, in New Orleans, doesn't really matter. Either one of them, it's going to be a tough environment. And they're putting themselves in position to be there.
And if they don't watch, they'll be in the playoffs in the road in the first round, and they may be going to Minnesota because there's that 3-6 thing that's starting to shake out, right?
Yeah, I mean, it sure looks like whoever doesn't win the division is going to be the 6, and the winner will be the 3. So, obviously they've had success as a 6 seed in the playoffs at one point, but I don't know that you want to set yourself up to the point where you're going to be doing at Minnesota, then the 2 seed is probably going to be the Saints, then the 1 seed is the 49ers. That's a very tough road to get to Miami.
Scott, do you think they can survive the next 2 weeks? I mean, especially the Giants and the Redskins. I mean, let's be honest. They both stink on both sides of the ball. But do you think they could survive 2 weeks without Brian Bulaga? And who do you see, like, filling in for that role? Is it going to be Alex Leiter? Are they going to move some guys around, maybe get Lucas Patrick in there? What do you think?
I think it's going to be Alex Leiter. I think they like him. I think from the beginning they've liked him as a swing tackle. So I think he'll get the first real shot at it. And I know he had somewhat of a shot and didn't exactly do well against San Francisco, but San Francisco is as good a front four as you're going to find in the league, and he's going in just on, you know, no notice of you're in.
Right.
I think he gets the start. I think even if he struggles in the beginning of the game, they're going to stick with him. I think it'd be one thing if Lucas Patrick was an outside guy, mm-hmm. but they don't really have an option. I can't imagine they're going to move Elgton Jenkins over there. Maybe they would do Billy Turner, but it's not really something they want to do. They'd be in a better position, actually, if Lane Taylor wasn't hurt right now, because he does have some experience playing tackle when Bakhtiari got hurt, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So that would have been an ideal situation. It's not there. I think that regardless of what we saw against San Francisco, they like what they have in light. So I would be very surprised if he doesn't get a good long look there.
Scott, let me switch topics here just really quickly. Would you rather be punched in the face every single day for a week or watch 30 hours straight of Badgers basketball?
I mean, I work with Kevin. I'm sort of used to A.
That's true. That's very true.
Working with me is much like getting punched in the face for an entire week straight.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. But you know what? Whether it's getting punched in the face every week, watching 30 minutes of Badgers basketball, as long as I have like that little 3-second clip of Duke Stephen F. Austin on the side, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's helping people locally right now, because the Badgers got outplayed and outclassed by New Mexico, which doesn't exactly...
After being outplayed and outclassed by Richmond the day before.
Mitch Richmond.
Woo! Yeah, they go into December with 0 wins away from Kohl Center, and that's... not a recipe for success.
Well, at least they got the Marquette one.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. March is going to be an interesting time here. I just have this weird sense that we're going to have one team in the tournament. It's going to be an 8 seed or a 9 seed. It's going to be one of those where...
UWM?
Oh, well, UWM could make it. I mean...
I think they might be the best team in the area.
Oh, my gosh!
Nah, I'm kidding. I don't know. Am I?
I do think UWM is going to compete in the Horizon, though. Yeah. I think they with Tijon Lucas coming in, and they have a couple other transfers as well. I think like 70% of their team is transfer students, and a lot of them are now eligible for the first time. So I think they're 4-2 right now. I mean, they're doing okay right now, but they're still feeling it out. And the Horizon League in general is just a little bit down this year. So do I think they're making the tournament? I don't know, but I think they're going to be. They'll be right around that, like 4 or 5 seed in a conference tournament where, sure, they can go on run.
I know you're up early because you've got actual work to do on our day job, CBS 58, but do you have time to stick around for one more segment?
Yeah, sure. I'll do one more.
It'll be a quick one. Hang tight. Hang tight. That's Scott Grodzki, CBS 58. We will hear more from him in a moment here. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.